Blog Talk Radio. tonight. It's Valentine's Day, February 14, 2015. And tonight's lecture is dealing with Beyond the Walls of Hope. And many a times on this genealogy journey, you lose hope. So tonight, I want to give you a little inspiration to take you on your journeys. And many a times when you feel that you can't go on, you have to deal deep inside of you. Your ancestors live inside of you. The blood that flows through your veins. Is your connection. They are your blood, you're their blood. These things you want to always keep in mind. And don't lose hope. Our world. I was blessed to have parents who stayed together for 42 years until my father's death. My grandfather, that is daddy, that raised me from 3 days old, along with mama. Valentine's Day was special for them. I never saw one time my parents argue, not in front of the children. See, these things are sacred. And they are nurturing upbringing. They knew how to handle their relationship in regards with the respect to each other. So I have a lot of that in me. So to the lovers out there tonight, to the husbands and wives and the families, I want to say happy Valentine's Day. And as I go into this lecture now, Beyond the Walls of Hope. Genealogy is a spiritual walk. Because there's a certain length of time that you have to go back, that you never met those ancestors. But you're going to have to learn how to meet them in spirit. Because they have the answers that you seek. And this spiritual walk is not superstitious. So you got to put religion aside and deal with the reality and the essence of life when it comes to them. Because even though they are not here in the flesh, they are with you spiritually. So now you have to put on your spiritual eyes. You have to now open that first eye that many call the third eye. Reference them. Become conscious of them. And when you do, you will find the answers that you seek. And it's very important to do that. It's not difficult. You lose hope, and when you lose hope, you don't think to concentrate and call on the spirit of them to help you. You're so caught up into the physical plane, but you got to get on the spiritual journey now. They're no longer here in the flesh. They're with you in spirit. So that spiritual man or woman inside of you needs to be awakening and communicate with them and give you an understanding of that that you can relate to in the flesh. So your diet is very important. Because your blood needs to be clean. You need to stay away from certain type food. So it's always best to go on a 7-day fast. Drink nothing but water for 7 days. I call this the genealogy fast. 7 days, go on the journey. Nothing but water. Concentrate on your ancestors. And I guarantee you, you will become conscious of them and they will communicate with you. These are some of the ancient teachings that we have. These things are very important. So I share them with you. Because many a times I have had to go on these journeys. In our show last night, I talked about vacationing with the ancestors, if many of you missed it. You got to be in remembrance of who you are and who your ancestors are. Now, you can say, we're still here in the spirit, so I say it's who they are. These things, people, are very important. So you got to understand these things. You got to reminisce with them. And it's crucial. Genealogy for the so-called African-American people is probably one of the most difficult challenges. And the reason is being because of slavery, because of racial reclassification. You have to relearn certain things, or you have to learn something new, or learn something old that was not been taught to you. All of the records out there, and I always say, these records contain information that has been suppressed and omitted. The colonial powers that be are the ones that wrote the books. And many things they left out to show a superiority. So what you have to do now is unring that bell. See, I was told you can never unring a bell, but I beg to differ with that. I was told you can't untie a knot, but I beg to differ with that. These things you can do. Take your time and you learn what's in the archives. That's very key. Get your information from the archives. Stay away from historical books because many writers write with a biased aspect and a biased agenda. The information is available to you now. First, as I always say to people, start with the laws of Virginia. But many a times you are taught that this country was only established by the English. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, no, you got to go deal with the Spanish. The Spanish was running this country 250 years before the English got here. So you got to go dig in the Spanish archives. And don't be surprised in the Spanish archives that your ancestors, if they're native or if they're African, they have Spanish names. So why would I say African? Because there were Africans, Spanish Africans living in Spain, came here with De Soto and other colonial people. English got here. Several parts of this country was already settled by Europeans, and those are the Spanish. But don't be blinded by that all natives lived in teepees, lived in huts. No, we had log cabins, we had cities, we had towns, and those that live in the rural areas of that lived in the little huts. We had round town villages. You got to understand this if you're native. So looking back in time, you have to deal now with the Spanish. So go look in Spanish colonial records. Spanish wanted everyone to convert to Catholicism. And they had Franciscans. Things you must be aware of. Because those things happen. If you want to take your journey back to the 1600s. And that's a spiritual journey. depending on where your cemeteries are. They are very old graves. Start to analyze those graves because you don't know. That could be a grand ancestor over there. Can't read the writing. Interpret the writing. Run it down. Write it down. See what it is. Many a times the writing is in Spanish. Many a times in a native language. See, the misconception is said that native people didn't have no language. Native people didn't have no writing. I'm sorry. If they have a language, they had writing. They didn't write in English. They didn't communicate in English. Communicate in our very own languages. And had common signs of things. Just like you have a stop sign in Europe, there's a stop sign in America. I don't care what language it is, that stop sign looks the same. That caution sign looks the same. These are the things that we had. So you got to understand, there was a language. There was a writing. Don't buy telling, oh, they didn't write. No. The majority of the things written by Native American people were written by early Europeans, given their perception, their telling the story. So you got to understand these things. I tell people all the time, Native American people didn't all die out from disease. It was a major factor. But what wiped out Native American people more than anything else? Was slavery and the reclassification of the Negro, because the Negro was a legal construct. I didn't say social construct. I said legal construct, because they had laws to guard, to govern the Negroes. It was called the Negro Law or the Slave Code or the Slave Law. You got to understand these things. When the colonial government in Virginia decided, and I say this every time, in 1682, Indians and Africans who were not in enmity with the government, friendship with them, would be in chattel slavery, would be classified as Negro. Those who were in enmity remained Indian. Those African remained African. I want you to understand this clear when I say this to you, because there are people out here that have taken this information and have put a twist on it without telling you the truth. That don't apply to all people, only the ones in slavery. So you got to understand it. So those that were enslaved became Negro. You reference this from South Carolina laws, and you reference this from Virginia laws. So now in South Carolina, the Indian slave trade was so rapid that it took on the characteristics of an African slave trade. Because the natives of the Southeast were dark skinned, tawny brown, reddish brown, dark skinned people. There is a Uchi Indian by the name of Henry Francis. He was a pastor. Henry Francis had no known African ancestor, and they called him a black man. So when you go through the Georgia Conference records, you're going to come across Henry Francis from Silver Bluff, George Gaplin Plantation, because George Gaplin Plantation was an Indian slave plantation. One of them. This is key. So tonight, I'm getting you beyond hope. getting you beyond these walls by giving you this information and refreshing you so you will know how to take this journey successfully. Now, you got the Negroes who are Indian, the Negroes who are African. Well, Chief Langley, how do I decipher the difference from the sale bill of sale? On plantations, slaves had descriptions. It tells you their origin, where they come from, who they are. Whether it's an American Negro or an African Negro. Cases, you got white Negroes, Scottish and Irish. These things are very crucial because the Scottish and Irish, as I always tell people, there were slaves 150 years in this country. White slavery ended in 1838 or 1839. Don't believe all southern states ended slavery around 1865. It didn't happen. South Carolina still had it till about 1907 or 1908. So you got to understand these things. They don't tell you this in the history book, but you go look in the colonial laws, you find this information. The greater genealogist or family historian you will become is when you decide more in depth and study the history of the colony you come from. Study history of the state that you come from. Study history of that township. These are the things you have to do. Don't listen to somebody tell you, well, that they changed the name of that. We don't have that information anymore. I am sorry. Then go to the local historical society. Go knock on the church doors of the oldest church in the community that has been there through time. Even when the county was named A and it went to B and now it's C, go to that church and see, don't they have the records, or see, can't they give you a clue? They always will. Go to your state archives. Ask questions. I teach classes in this because people have to be educated in genealogy. Most people, this is John Ancestry.com or John Family Search, and then go look. Those are population census. You need to learn what the census codes were. You need to learn what the laws were in a particular time. Because if your ancestor was enslaved and they were freed in South Carolina, they passed laws for them to get out of the state. They may have went to Alabama. In Alabama, they're a slave again. You have to understand what these laws are in these states, colonies. So if you want to live, you're going to be a slave. If you want to be free, you're going to get the hell up out of here. These are the things that people were challenged with, and you have to understand these things. Because when you understand these things, they make you a better historian. So you don't have these roadblocks, these brick walls, because you understand the laws. You understand the law that knows that a mulatto in one state is not the same mulatto in the next state. If South Carolina tells you that the mulatto is the issue of a white woman and a Negro, and Virginia tells you the issue of a mulatto is a Negro woman and an English man, you're dealing with two different concepts. What are you dealing with? Negro woman in one state, Caucasian woman in another. Because slavery follows the condition of the mother. So you have to learn this in detailed fashion. These things are crucial. But then again, let's examine that Negro. He could be African. We could be Indian. This is where your old story comes into play. This is also now where you go and check the plantation logs. What does the law say on my ancestor? Is he African or is he Native? This is the level of indebtedness you have to go to know. Don't just assume and get on these bandwagons, everybody Indian. No, they're not. Don't do that. Many of these people are in denial. Don't get caught up in that. Check your facts out. Do your homework. I have a series of classes and lectures. We have 41 genealogy classes to help you get over. We bring you from practical applications of basic census classes to taking you into deductive and inductive thinking and critical thinking. You have to utilize these tools on your research. It's critical. You have to think. I'm going to say it one more time. You have to think. And you got to think about the think about. This is a beautiful journey if you have the tools in your bag to go along the way. We give you these tools. My grandmama put this journey, my mama that raised me, put me on this journey. She prepared me 46 years for this. I didn't just start this yesterday. 46 years. Then I spent 10 years digging through the archives, looking, being nosy as hell to find what they told me. And I found it. Mama was right. Not that I didn't believe Mama. Daddy was right. Not that I didn't believe Daddy. I wanted to see it on paper. And I was hungry for it. Passion came for it. That's why at only about 5'6", I can stand 7 foot tall. Reverence, because my mom and daddy raised a giant mentally, and you have to become mental giants to get beyond these walls of hope. And some people, all they have in life is hope and never get beyond hope. There's more to life than a prayer. You got to put action with it. And you got to put the right type of action with it. You have to learn in life when you deal with your life from a daily aspect. You have to do the right things at the right time. Many a times, we do the right thing for the wrong reason and get in trouble. Or vice versa. It wasn't time to do that. Or you can do the wrong thing at the right time and get lucky and get a blessing. Get by. We have to, with our life, know and plan our decisions, our choices. Calculate your steps. Plan. My daddy always told me, son, nothing but a stumbling block, depending on how you look at it. So that stumbling block over there, if you see it, is a stepping stone. You have to look and examine things. You can be on the right road, but headed in the wrong direction. Watch where you're going. Have your compass. Your thoughts become your compass. Navigate thoughts in a positive way. These are things you have to do in life. And when you get on this journey, genealogy journey, you will begin to express things in life because you will begin to practice those same principles. Genealogy is about the life of your ancestors, which is you. Well, Chief, what about DNA? That's a shortcut. Nah, I really ain't gonna do nothing for you unless you take one for paternity. Or you go out and assume the body of one of your ancestors, them with you. But check this out. If many of you have old clothing of your ancestors, old hat, old pair of shoes, jacket, gloves, sitting around and sitting for 10, 15 years, you have your ancestors' DNA. Take it and test it. Send the glove into a DNA. Test this for me. This was my great-grandmother. This was my great-grandfather. See, you're not thinking. I'm telling you to think now. Because many of you now have these old things, and you're sitting back now smiling. Because this is what you have to do. DNA is on those things. Old comb is still there. Well, that's an old dress mama had on. Hey, get the DNA off it. Go test it. If you want to do that. Things are very important. Some of your ancestors may have had hearing aids, old dentures. You have that. Utilize it for a historical, educational, family purpose. Is that your exposure? I'm here just to wake you up because you've been sleeping. I need to inspire you. I need to rev up your RPMs and get you rolling. Things are very, very important. So tonight, that's the Valentine gift of love that I am giving you, a word. My mama always told me, give somebody a word. Inspire somebody. Say something pleasant every day of your life. It's priceless. It doesn't cost you anything. These are the things we have to do, people. It's priceless. See some woman in the store? Ma'am, you look so beautiful. I love your hair. See a man in the store? I like your haircut. I like your smile, sir. Doesn't cost you anything. They might be looking tacky to you, but that might be their best. But when you inspire them, you just uplift their spirit. It is your spirit throughout the day that carries you and makes you happy or makes you sad. Inspire someone's spirit. Make them feel good. These things are important. I remember a man in my neighborhood, Mr. Mike, when I was growing up, was an old, dirty mechanic. But a woman came along and cleaned Mike up. And when you saw him, she spread him with love and care. He looked like a whole different person. He manicured his nails. He cut his hair. His walk was different. His clothes was iron. But no other woman wanted him till she went in there and cleaned him up. See, I'm saying this because many a times in life, we have to look at something or someone of what they could be and rather than what they are. But are you up to the challenge of doing that? Because many times we bring the best out of each other. We also bring the worst, but for the most part, we bring the best out of each other. This is how life is supposed to be. These things, people, are very important. Give a positive word to someone. How often do you tell your children you love them? How often do you tell your spouse? You just wait till a holiday? Maybe you say it daily. Maybe you should practice it daily. There's two fears in this world, love and fear. Rather than to tell someone, I hate you, leave, why don't you say, I would love if you leave. I would love for him to just go away. Because my mother always says when you love something, you put the conquering force in it. See? Love. Whatever you do, you want to be a drunk? Be a love being one. You want to be a whore? Love being one. You want to be a good person? Love being it. Whatever you do, put love in it. I'm not telling y'all to go out and love and be a whore. I'm just telling you, excel. Love gives you the energy to excel. Well, keep these things in mind. They are crucial to you. So tonight, we're on Beyond the Walls of Hope. So think about that. Think about the journey. Your mama's gone. Think of her. Your daddy is gone. Think of him. Grandmama's gone. Think of them. Always essence of them, and you keep them alive. Tell people all the time. My mama spent more time around my house, and she's been dead 3 years now. Cooking, frying chicken, cooking collard greens, stole their own. But it makes me happy to know mama is still here. See, religion has y'all spooked that you're scared of spirits. There's no need to be. Your mama didn't hurt you when she was here. Your daddy didn't hurt you when he was here. Why are they going to hurt you in spirit? One of these days, you and I will become spirit. You afraid of the things you can't see? You know, the most powerful element on this earth is air. And we can't live without it. But it's less talked about. Next is water. I don't see wind. You don't see wind, but you see the direction it blows when you're looking at a tree. Or you got some clothes on the line. Or there's some object in the yard, and you can see it swing back and forth, so you know which way the wind is blowing. These are things you have to start paying very close attention to in life. Go out sometime and get butt naked and go hug a tree. Take your feet, dig your hole, and plant your feet in the ground. And resonate with that tree. As sure as your body is ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we come from the earth, why not connect back with it? These are the things in nature that we still have control of. Well, Chief, why are you doing that? Because it grounds you back to the mother. Try it. See how you feel. Write me an email. You tell me about it. Go out and do it for about 10 minutes. Get into a routine doing it every day. Get you a newspaper or something. Record your own voice and play it over while you out there hugging that tree with your feet planted in the ground. Getting all life nutrients coming back from the earth, from your heels, up into your body. I'm not a medicine man. I had ancestors that practiced medicine, but I'm not. I'm not ordained to do that. That wasn't my calling. See, in Native clans, we respect certain things. If your clan are not ordained to do a certain thing, therefore, certain rituals and rites of passage will not work. You go against the paradigm because it's not for you to do it. You got to follow the order of protocol. Some people follow protocol, but they don't follow the order of it. These things are very important. They're to be respected. If one family been lighting a candle for 30 years, let them continue to light the candle for 30 years because they have power that goes into that light. You got to understand these things. I don't spend a lot of my time going to a lot of powwows, because a lot of things they do is not authentic and it does not pertain to that particular tribal culture. It has become commercialized. I don't engage. I know better. I don't. Many of you are so happy but not having any knowledge of what you are engaging yourself into, which is dangerous from a spiritual aspect of things. See, there comes a time where you have to start being conscious of your spiritual man or your spiritual woman. You're just trying to take care of the flesh with the physical diet, but you're not engaging in a spiritual diet. That is something to think about. Because as your spirit man and woman needs to be fed, just as your physical man needs to be fed, but you need to feed them with spiritual things. Your body need to resonate at a certain frequency, so you got to watch your diet, which help aid and balance the spirit in a healthy mind. So when the mind, the soul, and the physical bodies are aligned at once, mind, body, spirit, you resonate equally into the godhood or the masterhood or whatever you want to call it, the knowledge of self. These things are very important. You got to understand these things. Well, Chief, I don't know a lot about Native culture. Go to our website. I have tons of free ebooks for you to learn Southeastern culture, Northeastern culture, culture across the country. Go and read those books. You find the older books tend to be a lot purer. But then again, you have to read books according to by the author, and you have to research those authors to understand their temperament. What was their agenda for writing? Clearly, you're not going to read a book by a KKK man when he write about black folks, because you know what you're getting. So these things you got to keep in mind. So I have several there for you to read. www.srbuchitribe.org. We share information. Because information is priceless. If it was free to me, I'm going to pass it on to you. Now, I'm not going to give you all my tribal clan information. No, no, my ancestors ain't going to be happy with that. That was for my benefit. But the basic knowledge and understanding of things that get you to the point of knowing where you are or who you come from will certainly get you to the door. These things are crucial, and to understand these things. My grandmother, Ethel, my great-grandmother, and I told this before, she wanted no electricity in her house. Didn't want it, didn't need it. Couldn't stand to watch a TV, gave her a headache. Couldn't stand to listen to a radio, gave her a headache. Didn't even have a clock. My grandmother knew when it was 5:30 in the morning. She knew when it was noon and knew when it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She knew because she resonated with the moon. My great-grandmother. That's what she did daily. She would plant a garden inside the house, but she would plant her vegetables according to the moon. Many a time she would go out and she would throw the seeds at night. She didn't plant them in the morning. She planted them at night. And in the morning they were sprouting. See, darkness holds a lot of knowledge to things. Things are born out of darkness. The soil is dark. That's what my grandmother did. Thunder and lightning, sometimes she'd go to chatting. Not today. Now calm down. And the thunder and lightning would cease. This is in 1972. My great-grandmama, Effa, no more than 4'11", about 85 pounds. I was blessed to get this knowledge from her. You gotta, whatever experience you ever had with any of your ancestors, reverend it, romance it, gravitate to it. These things are special to you. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise, because they're priceless. Because you have gained something from someone that there will never be another person in life like them. That is to be honored. That is to be respected. That is to be remembered of. And today, I honor all of mine because they made me who I am. Because their blood run through my veins. And I will not defile or dishonor them. Sometime I get a mindset to do something, I got to go get out in a corner somewhere and cry. To humble myself down. My mama wouldn't approve of that. My daddy wouldn't approve of that. I can't do that. No. No. Sometimes you got to reach deep and hold on. These things, people, are very, very important to you. Life, love. We've been cut off from a lot. I say if you're African, learn your African history, your native, learn your native history. Some people have a mixture of both. That's a blessing. Embrace both. Some people, all three, African, Indian, and European. Embrace. as who you are. Love who you are. You can't be around here hating white people, and two generations ago your granddad is white, your grandmama is white. Why are you going to hate yourself? These things are important. So right now, I'm going to open the floor up. Anybody, callers, have any questions, you're free to dial in and ask me. I'll do my best, give you the answers, or look for the answers. So right now I have caller 312.
Hi, Steve. Hello, can you hear me?
Hey. Yes, I can.
Oh, good. I'm enjoying listening to you, and I'm taking everything to heart. I had a quick question about cremation. How does cremation, or does cremation have a part in Native American history?
Some tribes do it. We never done it. Not in the history that I know of.
Okay. I can't speak too much
on that because we don't believe in it. There are other tribes and families out there believe in it. We don't. We believe in that body going back to the earth.
Thank you.
I hope I've answered that for you. Next question. Anybody else out there? Let me close this call. So if you ever have any questions, you can hit me up on Facebook. Manzato Langley, Forensic Genealogist. I will answer your questions the best that I know how. I don't know something, I'll tell you I don't know it. My specialty is South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. My primary focus is South Carolina and Georgia, low country along the Savannah River. My passion, Native American slavery and colonial law. I'm probably the most authoritative on it for South Carolina and Georgia for the number of years that I have studied it and looked at the court cases. Have a passion. People need to know. Information is out there. You just have to seek the right information and get with the right study groups. And trust me, people, stay away from rhetoric. Stay away from it because it gets you nothing. I am telling you, there are people out there that will lie to you even when they know the truth. Let me give you an example. During the abolition movement, they created a design of people packed in slave ships, close as they could be, stacked up like cans. That never happened. That was a popper. That was a propaganda scheme by the abolitionist movement to depict the horror of slavery. It never happened that way. That's a propaganda photo. Don't fall for it. Folks around here talking about, look, do you believe they were packed up? Like, no, I don't believe it because it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And if you study the history of that photo from the abolitionist movement, it would tell you exactly the same thing that I'm telling you. It was propaganda. Propaganda goes a long way. Propaganda say all the Indians was in Oklahoma. No, we're not. And you got to be very careful with some people in Oklahoma, because Oklahoma feel they have the rights of passage and nobody else is Indian in the world except them. So don't go trying to raise hand and reach out to all of them, because you're not going to get a welcome. But then again, they don't know Southeastern history. They know what was taught to them in Oklahoma. You know what was taught to you. So I'm going to tell you this. Stay in your lane. Don't chase waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you are accustomed to. Because you asking for an argument and trouble, leave it alone. Not all of them out there are like that. Many of them are. I am telling you, leave it be. That's not your history out there. That is theirs. Yours is where you are. So learn yours. Don't be lazy. Too many people are lazy and want to gravitate to somebody else's history. Their history don't belong to you. Learn who you are, but you may be an element from that particular society of community, but learn it from your family aspect. This is what you need to do. Like I said, otherwise you asking for trouble. Leave it alone. Half the things you see in these powwows, people didn't dress like that in the Southeast. If you come from the Southeast, you're not going to see it. We didn't wear those feather headdresses like they have. We didn't have no teepees. Powwows are commercial. Commercialized. You rarely get a variety of Native culture because everybody's doing the same way. The drummers are singing the same. That's Lakota and West Coast. I'm not West Coast. I'm Southeast. I knew what the Uchis did. I ain't following that nonsense. It don't apply to me. Actually, you would be out of place talking about you are an East Coast Indian and you dress like you come from the Lakota tribe out west. And you from Georgia. Learn your history and the culture of your history. Not all Native American people are the same across the board. That is the biggest mistake you can ever run into. Don't buy it. You're going to get duped every time. Leave it alone. Not all tribes and clans practice the same thing because you're dealing with families. A lot of things they ain't going to tell you. You go to powwow, they say one thing. You go home with them, they say something else. Why? Because that's what the audience want to see out there. They ain't going to tell you the real ritual. No. You better be associated with them. You better have built a relationship with them. They may better like you or love you before they tell you anything. Otherwise, you will not get it. That is a fact. 414, I'm coming to you right now.
Hey, Chief.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Chief.
Yes.
I hear you talking a lot about your family and how you're trying to discredit people thinking that all Indians are the same or the stereotype of Indians. Could you elaborate more about Indian tribes or families versus... Is it different with those Indians that went to Oklahoma? Those may not be family, but more likely.
Let me explain this to you the best way that I know how. Indian tribes are no more than families. They're family clans. So I'm going to say this. One can assume and could be correct. When the people went to Oklahoma, they intermingle with a lot of different other people. Therefore, some of the true traditions that's practiced back east, they don't practice in Oklahoma anymore. So to follow that concept is totally different. Because you were taught differently. You can't assume it. Okay, what's this tribe or clan over there? Maybe they mixed with Scottish or Irish. Or maybe they married into a Western tribe, the Sox or the Lakotas. So now Lakota culture is mixed into the Creek culture by a marriage. But you're looking for something southeast, that might not be it. If you are in the southeast, your folks didn't go to Oklahoma, you have what your parents taught you, if they taught it to you. So don't assume to jump on what they're doing in Oklahoma, because it might not be proper. They will tell you it's proper because they're in Oklahoma and they're carrying the torch light. Yeah, right. I ain't dogging them out. I'm just stating a fact. A lot of them don't know Southeast history. They know Oklahoma. These things need to be looked upon and respected. I respect them for who they are. I respect them for their culture in Oklahoma because that's what they know. We can share in a few things, in traditions, that might be the same, but we do it different here. No different than the folks doing a certain dance in California. That same dance is done different in Chicago or Miami. We do it differently. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did, Chief. Thank you.
Are you welcome? Any other callers out there? These are the things you should keep in mind. Not all tribes are the same. Now, I'm going to clear something up, and people ask me this all the time. The Seminoles and the Creeks are the same people. Only difference, the remnants of the Creeks are the Seminoles, which means they left. Or they were isolated from the Creeks. Well, what are the Creeks? You got Upper Creek, Middle Creek, Lower Creek. Those are different. You got the Coosa, Omogee, Apalachee. People saying near Creek, what you mean? What creek? What are you talking about? This is why you don't get the respect that is due. You need to learn who these Creek tribes are, who these people are, what bands or clans they descend from. I'm a Creek Seminole. You're the same damn thing if you don't know what you're talking about. I've heard some black people say they're three different things. Negro, how in the hell are you all these three different things? You don't even know your own history three generations ago. But you Creek, you Seminole, and you Choctaw. Okay, which one of your ancestors are all three? Where did you check your genealogy to verify that? That's no different than most people talking about their Blackfoot. And I tell people, Blackfoot's out in Montana, Canada. That's the tribe because they wore black moccasins. That's why they call Blackfoot. That's what the history says. Well, the Saponi and the Cherokee Blackfoot down here are those that mix with Africans. So when I hear a lot of white people say, my grandmother was a Cherokee Blackfoot. Well, I guess you know. You don't have an African name? No, yes, you do. If she's a Cherokee Blackfoot, you do. Because she's a mixture of African and Indian. study history. I can't tell you people how crucial it is, and quit coming on Facebook trying to be a hype. Learn who you are. The information is out there. People sitting back scratching their head. You got all that in you? Some of those people were enemies. Okay, at one point in time, where were these villages and where were these people that they united? In Oklahoma? Or back east? Stay away from the Dawes Road. Doesn't apply to you. How are you going to say your family was Negro and reclassified, then you bragging about them on the Dawes Road? You know how you sound? Like a liar. Leave it alone. Does not apply. Those are common names. Well, I go to the National Archives. You don't have to go to the National Archives. The same information is in the National Archives. You can get off Ancestry. You can get off Family Search. You can also get it off the Uchi Tribe website because we have it. I don't use it. I teach from it to let people know, be careful. These are common names. When did your ancestor go to a reservation, or when did she go to Oklahoma? I don't know, Chief. Then how you claiming she's on the Dawes Roll if you don't know? Be honest with you, using the Dawes Roll, you dealing with a legal construct of Indian. That's according to the law. That's how the BIA views it. You're a legal Cherokee, you're a legal Choctaw. You're a legal Chickasaw. You're going by the Dawes Roll. You dealing with percentiles. Okay, if your grandmama was on the Dawes Roll. Now let's check your genealogy to see how much blood is left in you now, since it's going to run out eventually. I'm going to waste time with that. I'm matriarchal. Whatever blood was in your mama is in you. And so forth and so on. Don't mess with that. Blood don't die out. You can marry out. No. You're setting yourself up for failure. It doesn't apply to you. Leave it alone. Learn your history. Study the genealogy of your ancestry. Search the area that they were born. Research it. Research their habits. How many times a year did your grandfather get his hair cut? When did he get it? What day of the week? What month? How was the moon? Did your grandmother let anybody touch her hair? Or she let a certain person touch her hair? Or she only curled her hair at a certain time? These are the questions you need to be asking yourself by observing your family. It is crucial and it is key. I can't tell you anything otherwise. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it again before I end this call. Leave the Dawes Roll alone. You're going to get scammed. Lose your $300 or $400. Or your $75 or $150 they ever charge you to join. Leave it alone because it can't do nothing for you. If you are on the Dawes Roll, you don't need them. Call up the BIA. They will direct you to some tribes if you are on the Dawes Roll. You on the Dawes Roll, you got a ticket. You don't need no social club or no other organization going to the UN to do anything for you. Your ancestor was on the dial roll. You got a direct ticket to the BIA. That is a fact. Cherokees will open arms with you if you are on there. I seriously doubt you are. Never know. Anybody don't have any more questions? 312, you have another question?
No, I did, but you answered I did have one, but you had answered, so thank you.
Okay. 414, you got another question?
No, you answered mine as well, Chief. Thank you for
all
your
right.
time, though.
All right. Well, on that note, I hope y'all enjoyed tonight. As my folks say, best wishes, Heath away. You have a good night, and thank you. Bye-bye.